The title of my Sunday school lesson this morning is Following After Christ. And my scripture is John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. In John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Let me start that over. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I read an illustration, and I thought it was kind of humorous, but fitness as well, said, you know, many years ago, before they had all this electronic stuff on ships, and y'all know about lighthouses. The purpose of a lighthouse was to warn ships that they were getting close to the coast or rocks, things like that. And said, the captain of a ship, one dark and foggy night, looked and he saw a faint light in the distance. Immediately he told his signalman to send a message. Now, if you don't know what that is, ships used to communicate with signal. They had a light and they would flash it in code to other ships to send a signal to them. He had the signalman send a message, said, "Alter your course 10 degrees south." Promptly there was a return message received that said, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." The captain didn't like that. You know, I'm the captain. I'm in command of this vessel. I don't know who this guy thinks he is. So he had him send a second message. He said, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm the captain of the ship." Well, soon another message came back and said, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a seaman third class." And he thought, the arrogance of this guy, I'm a captain, he's a seaman third class, and who's he think he is, you know? So finally he said, "Well, I'm going to settle this." So he had his signalman send him one more message. He said, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am on a battleship." He said, "Now surely, you know, I'm on a battleship at the time, the biggest, meanest, one of the biggest, meanest ships out here. This guy, he's got to get out of my way." Well, a reply came back and said, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm in a lighthouse." So, what do you think happened there, you know? We hear in the midst of dark and foggy times, my point is we hear a lot of messages, a lot of voices out there telling us what to do. And, you know, in our arrogance as humans and being in the flesh, we can think we're in charge. You know, I'm not going to listen to anybody else. I'm not going to listen to God. I'm not going to listen to the Bible or, you know, the preacher or anything like that. But those messages will tell us how to adjust our lives. Now, like I say, in the world, we will hear a lot of different messages, some good, some bad. You know, we have well-meaning friends and family who will tell us, "Well, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you know. Why you go to church? Why you spend so much time in church?" Those kind of things. But what message should we listen to?
Yeah.
We should listen to the Bible.
Amen.
We should listen to the Word of God. That's the one true message. Jesus is the light of the world. Just as this lighthouse was there warning people, and he was warning this captain, "Stay away, I'm in a lighthouse. You've got to listen to me, or your battleship's going to be on the rocks, it's going to crash." Jesus is the same way. He is the light of the world, and we need to listen to him, or our life and the end of our life will crash and burn.
Amen.
In Psalms 39, verse 4, the psalmist said, "Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Are we not frail? Yes, we are. We see that if you live to be very old, you find out quickly how frail we are. I know we have some young people in here. When I was young, you know, thankfully I had good health. I didn't seem like anything would bother me. But it's been what seems to me a very short time, and now every day it seems like there's some new ache, some new pain, you know, that comes through. And then I have a mother who's almost 80, and when I tell her, she laughs and says, "Wait, you get to be my age," you know. But it just shows, we think when we're young, we say, "Oh, 80 years, you know, that's a long time," but it goes by quickly, we all know. It goes by very fast, and we are frail. And the psalmist said, he asked him there, he said, "Lord, make me to know mine end." I think that's a good prayer there.
Yes.
That we should ask as well. "Lord, make me to know mine end." What is our end? Are we on the right journey? Are we headed to heaven? Are we truly saved? I think even if we've been saved a long time, it's still good to ask ourselves that sometimes. You know? "Lord, am I on the right journey? Am I trusting in you the way I should?" For a person's journey, the journey of their life, to be meaningful and worthwhile, he has to have two things right. You know, Brother David just got back from a trip. Falls in line with this. You have to have a destination in sight, somewhere to go, and you have a direction, a way to get there. Now, I'm sure Brother David didn't just jump in the van and say, "Let's just start driving. I'm supposed to be in the, let's just start driving and see if we wind up at the church there in North Carolina." I can tell you, he probably wouldn't have got there, would he? He had to have that destination in North Carolina, and he had to have directions. Whether he had them in his head from going previously, or whether he had them on his phone or whatever, he had to have a direction, a way to get there. And it's the same way in our life. If we want to get to heaven, which should be our destination, we have to have direction. We find that in the Word of God. We find how to get there. So we have to listen to that voice from the lighthouse, from the light of the world. Jesus said, in our text, in John there, he told us in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." That's our destination, the Father's house. That's where he's prepared the place for us. He said, "And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." And then we have to have that direction. Thomas asked him, he said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going or how we can get there." But Jesus told him, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." So he gave him the direction right there. In the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 25, think about this, and I hope you'll follow how in my mind it relates. Verse 25, it says, "And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple." See, that's our path, that's our journey, that's our direction. We have to bear our cross and come after Christ. We have to follow him. "For which of you," Jesus said, "intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." You know, if you start to build a house and you don't sit down and make sure you've got enough money, you get halfway through and you have to quit, people are going to laugh at you.
Yeah.
People are going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. Second, "This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the others yet a great way off, he sendeth in a passage and desireth conditions of peace." See, if you go to war, you better be prepared. That's why they would send out scouts. If you have 10,000 men, you send out scouts and they say, "Oh, King, this guy's coming with 20,000. He's got double our number." you may say, let me send some ambassadors over here and see if we can make peace before he gets here, because I don't want to lose this battle and get killed. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We have to forsake things on our journey. We have to forsake the world. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherever shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the lamp, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, I read a little farther there, but you know in that verse 33, he says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all, he cannot be my disciple. You know, I relate to this as Jesus was saying, you need to sit down and count the cost. And I think that how it is with us. I was talking about directions. We need to have those directions to start on this journey. We need to have the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. That's counting the cost. Mm-hmm. What it's going to cost us. Because to get to heaven, it's going to cost us.
Yeah.
It cost our Savior on the cross, yes. But it's going to cost us as well.
Yes.
It costs us friendships. It may cost us jobs. Cost us money. Cost us things in life to follow Christ. We have to say no at times. Even to our family. He said there in that verse 26 that we can't put our family above Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brother David and I were talking the other one Sunday about people coming to church and not coming. And I was thinking about how I've talked to people sometimes and, you know, maybe they were of a different denomination. And they don't like what we teach on church truth, things like that. And they say, well, I can't go there because, you know, my mama was such and such religion, or my daddy or my granny. And literally people think that, you know, that I can't do that because they see it as a put down to them, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
And it's not. No, we can't say, just as we can't say, oh, my granny was a praying woman and a righteous woman and a godly woman, so therefore I'm getting into heaven. No, granny's going to heaven, but that doesn't mean you are.
Right.
And sometimes we have to do what's right, even though it hurts with our family, and say, look, I'm going to this church here because they teach the truth. I have family that does not agree with things I believe. You know, they don't. They're against them. I'm sorry. I have to follow what the Lord has shown me. I have to go in the direction that I believe is right, that what God has revealed to me. I love them, and I wish that they would see the truth as well. But I have to forsake them and follow Him. Now, forsake doesn't mean I don't love them or don't talk to them, but I can't set my directions based upon what they say.
Amen.
Remember what I said earlier about we hear a lot of voices out there. And they may be well-intentioned, those voices. But we have to follow the Word of God. We have to set those things aside. We have to listen to that light of the world, that lighthouse, to guide us on our journey. To depart without a destination is to doom oneself to aimless wandering. As I just said, if Brother David jumped in a van and said, well, I don't really know the way, but I'm just going to start driving and see if I get there, I don't think he would have made it. He had to have those directions. And we don't have much time, as I said earlier. In the book of James, James chapter 4, verse 14, says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
Yeah.
Our life is short. We better have some direction. We better have a good destination, and we better have some direction. Because I can tell you the other destination is somewhere you don't want to go. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to aimlessly wander through life and then die and find out, oh no, oh my, where am I at now? We don't want to do that. It is real, regardless of what the world will say. And we don't want to wait until the last minute hoping that we can live our life how we want to and then repent before we die and go to heaven. It doesn't work like that. I've known people, I've had, actually had a gentleman tell me that. He said, well, I live my life how I want to. He said, but before I die, you know, I'll repent. You know when you're going to die. You know when that time's coming.
That's right.
What if you die and you don't have a chance to repent? What if you die suddenly in a car wreck or a heart attack? You know, but that's how the flesh is. That's how lost people are. They don't think about those things. The man was wandering aimlessly. He had no direction other than each day what his heart told him to do. And we know that's not what we're to follow. One of the great tragedies of our time, I think, is that people don't know where they're going. They don't know. And of course, we see more and more the rejection of God, rejection of His Word. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Yes.
Before the Lord saved me, I thought everything was okay. But He opened my eyes and caused me to see it was not. And so many people think that. You can look this up on YouTube and see it. You know, a real popular person, Oprah Winfrey, had an episode one time and had some people on there. Excuse me, this one lady, I was very proud of her. She told her, she said, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And Oprah said, that can't be right. There's got to be more than one way. Can't just be one way. Well, Oprah's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't care how much money she has, how much she's famous, and personally I have nothing against her, but she's wrong. That was wrong. Praise God for the woman who stood up and said, Jesus is the only way.
Yes.
He is the only way. But see, the world will tell you there's many paths, many spiritualities, many ways to get to God. And we know that's not true. All those ways lead to destruction, like I just read in the Proverbs. Those ways seem right. They sound good to a lost man. But they lead to death and destruction. They lead to hell. We've got to follow the true light. We would do good to heed the words of Moses when the people were wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verse 29, he said, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Mm-hmm. We need to consider our latter end.
Yes.
Like I just said, we need to consider that. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Christ, consider your latter end. Know that no one is going to make it out of here alive. We're all going to die one day. We need to consider our latter end. What will our destination be? Have we followed? Have we set the right destination? And have we followed the directions to get there? Now, I hope no one misunderstands me. Of course, I'm not talking about works religion. I'm not talking about working your way to heaven. But I'm talking about trusting in Christ. Are we doing that? Are we following Him? A journey that is worthwhile needs to have the right destination. What did Jesus say in John chapter 5? Verse 39 and 40. He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. But He said, search the scriptures. This is our directions right here. These are our directions, this Bible.
Amen.
They give us the directions. You know, not all goals that we pursue in life are the right ones. We've all made that mistake, I'm sure. Many of the things we seek many times they're not worth the effort. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, man, I really want this thing, whether it's something you want to buy, a car or a house or maybe a degree you want to get or some kind of certificate or whatever. You just put all your effort behind it. Man, if I could just get that, my life would be perfect. If I could just have that one thing, you know. And then you get to that point and you realize, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And maybe it satisfies you for a little while. You know, everybody likes a nice new car, nice house, those kind of things. But is that really what satisfies our soul? No. The house gets old. The house needs painting. It needs repair. The car gets old. It breaks down. The paint fades on it. You know, nothing wrong with getting a degree. But I know a lot of people got degrees and then totally went off in another field of work.
Yeah.
You know, so there's times that we make wrong choices. We don't pursue the right things, and sometimes it's wasted effort. And we if we're honest and admit that to ourselves, you know, we say, yeah, I spent a lot of time chasing that thing, and it wasn't worth it in the end. It was wasted effort. But I can say with 100% confidence that this is not wasted effort. Following Christ is not wasted effort. Following the Bible, what it says, and our pursuit of heaven is not wasted effort. This, and Jesus gave a good illustration of this in Luke chapter 12. Remember the man who built the tower? Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Apparently this man had an issue where his brother got an inheritance and he wouldn't divide it with him. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Jesus said, Why do you come to me? And he said, that is Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, is that not 100% opposite of what the world teaches? Mm-hmm. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses.
Yeah.
The world looks at a man who has money, or a woman, a man who has money, who has nice things, nice house, nice car, they have money. The world says, ooh, that's a successful person right there. That's a great person. How did they get those things? That person may have lied, cheated, stole, killed to get that stuff. And you don't know it, but you look at them and you think, and I think, because they have money, that must be a pretty good person right there. But are they really? See, Jesus knows our heart.
Amen.
Our life does not consist of the abundance. You can have an abundance of things and die and go to hell. And what good have those things done you? What good have they done you? He goes on to say, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He had so much he didn't have anywhere to keep it. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that a pursuit? I've been guilty of it, of how we've done. You know, if I could just get enough money in the bank where I could relax. If I could just have enough money in there, everything would be good, I could relax. But what did Jesus say to him? But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Yeah.
This night you have to answer with your soul. And what's going to happen to all those goods you have? They're going to be divided up. They're going to be gone. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So are we laying up treasure towards God? Or are we laying up treasure on earth?
Right.
We're going to die. And when we die, what happens to our stuff? You know, it's gone. We went with Sister Rachel. Tina and I went with Sister Rachel some estate sales. I like going to them. You know, we pick up a little trinket here and there, whatever, tool or something. We like going to them. And we went to one beautiful house, right up on the mountain. Gorgeous view. I mean, gorgeous. I'm sure it was $1 million house, you know, if not more. Beautiful. And we go in the bedroom, and the lady's wedding dress is hanging up in there for sale. From way back, probably the 30s or something like that. And I'm looking around, and it made me sad. You know, I didn't know anything about the lady. And I got to thinking about it. I said, here these people were, had this gorgeous house, and nothing wrong with that. You know, if they could afford it, they had this gorgeous house. That, as long as that's, again, that's not our goal and our focus, you know, we don't worship those things. If God blesses you with it, I have no problem with having a nice house or a nice car. But my point is, the lady and whoever lived there, I guess her husband, had passed away. And now what was happening to all these things? Strangers, total strangers, were in their house rummaging through all these things they had collected over the years.
Yeah.
You know, just rummaging through these things. All those things that meant something to them, to us, was just stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I like this or I like that. Oh, that's too much money. I'm not going to pay for that. But it really hit me when I saw her wedding dress in there for sale. I said, here's something she kept and cherished all these years. And now it's just out here for sale to whoever. So those things in the big scheme of life don't matter. We store those things up, and when we die, other strangers go through them and divide them up.
Right.
That should not be our focus. Our focus should be laying up treasure in heaven, not on earth, is my point. That should be part of our destination. We know that's going to be our destination. Let's lay up our treasure there where it won't be divided up. It won't rust. It won't decay. Jesus, according to him and what I read in our text, the one destination that's truly worthwhile is the Father's house, is heaven. That's the one that's really worthwhile. Now, as part of that, like I said, he gave the direction. When Thomas asked him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You can be spiritual and die and go to hell.
Yeah.
You can be whatever, Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, and die and go to hell. And that's the truth. People would hate me for saying that, but that's the truth.
Amen.
That's the warning I'm trying to get. Some people have the Father's house in their sights, but they never get there because they get lost on a side street.
Yeah.
Now, when I was studying this, you know, I'm not going to read it, but I was thinking about the parable of the sower. You might say, what you mean by that? Think about the seed. He scattered the seed. Some fell in the thorns and got choked. Some fell in the rocky ground, sprung up. But as soon as the sun came out, it withered off. That's how it is with us. We have to be careful. You know, we know about heaven. We've been told about heaven. We've been told about Jesus. And people may even give an appearance. They may come to church and do different things. But is that truly our destination? Do we let things distract us? Do we get lost on a side street rather than continuing to follow the directions? If you've got directions and you don't follow them, what good does it do you? If I said, hey, Brother David, heard you going to North Carolina? I printed out these directions. This is a good way for you to go. And he said, oh, okay, thank you. And he stuffed them in the glove compartment and took off and never got them out. What good did it do him? None. He didn't look at them. He didn't follow them. The same way with us. If we don't follow the directions, if we don't follow what the Word says. Some people try to get there by living a good moral life. There was some, I overheard a conversation at work a little while back. People were talking about heaven. And one person said, well, I think it's morality. You know, you've got to be a good person. That is how you get to heaven. That's not so. Because we know the Bible says that we're none good. Some people try to get there following a different gospel. They've perverted the true gospel. They give you a list of commands of things you have to do. You've got to get baptized. You've got to speak in tongues. You've got to dress a certain way. You've got to do these things. You've got to tithe. I mean, the list goes on and on. They follow a perverted gospel. Some people even, they try to get there by being religious. You know, they'll have a form of religion. And it seems in our day, I've noticed, especially through social media, the word religion somehow has become a bad word. You know, people say, oh, you got to have Jesus, not religion. Yeah, that's true. I get what you're saying. You know, I'm not saying because of religion, I'm saying because of Jesus. But as the old saying goes, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
We're commanded to assemble ourselves together. You know, religion is just merely our form of worship. It's not a bad word. But people follow other religions that I mentioned. They're following the wrong directions. Now, if I printed out directions, you said, hey, I'm going to such and such a place. You know, if Sister Leah came to me and said, Brother Barry, I'm going over here to Alabama. I don't know how to get there. Can you help me? And I printed her out directions to get to South Carolina and gave them to her. Would that do her any good? And she followed my directions. She might say, well, the sign says, welcome to South Carolina. I'm supposed to be going to Alabama. What did he do? You know, I followed him exactly like he said. Yeah, she followed him, but guess what? The destination was wrong. Same way it is with other religions in the world. You can follow it and you can be a strict adherent to it and still wind up at the wrong destination. There is only one way. I keep saying this over and over again. There's only one way to the Father's house, and that's through Jesus. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
Yes.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, if we follow Jesus, he will direct our path to heaven. He will keep us on that straight and narrow. When we start to go down a side street, I believe he'll come along and say, oh, no, wrong way. You got to head back. You got to get back in the right lane. Got to go back the right way. You know, we live in very much a pluralistic society. We do not like exclusiveness in this society. And in some ways, that's good. But when it comes to getting to heaven, that's not good.
Yeah.
We like inclusiveness. We want to include everybody. We like, in society, we like to treat every religion as good. Every philosophy as worthwhile. You know, people will say, well, Christian, your religion is no better than a Jewish person or than Islam or those things, you know. People say, Islam's just another path to God. Judaism's just another path to God. But it's not. It's not to be God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Before, in our society, the ultimate virtue has become toleration. Tolerate anything and everything and anybody and everybody. You know? Our society is quick to brand those who preach the one way as bigoted and intolerant. You know, get in a crowd, not a church crowd, get in a regular crowd and start preaching Jesus is the only way and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you're a bigot, you're intolerant, you can't be right, Jesus is not the only way. But he is.
Amen.
Jesus himself said, no one comes to the Father but by me, but through me. This exclusiveness of Christianity comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from us.
That's right.
People want to hate us. It doesn't come from us. It's not our intolerance. It's his intolerance. It's not our narrowness. It's his narrowness. He's our creator. He sets the rules. He has set the path. In Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. That word straight means narrow. The way is narrow. The path is narrow. Verse 14, because straight or narrow is the gate, And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it. That word narrow, verse 14, means difficult or confined. A small space. The way to Jesus is not broad and wide open. The way to the Father, to the Father's house, is not broad and wide open. It's narrow.
Amen.
And this world doesn't like that, but that's the truth. It's narrow. It's a narrow way. It's only one way through Jesus. There's not multiple ways to Christ. And we, as His followers, we have no right to make the way narrower than He does. And we have no right to make it broader than He does.
Yes.
We would be failing to tell people, oh, you think there's another way? Well, that's okay. That's all right. No, that's a lie. And we know that. We can't make it broader. We can't make it narrower. The exclusiveness of Christianity is what our message is about. To tell people there's only one way. It's a narrow way. It's a confined way. It's not broad. It's through Christ. That's why Jesus commissioned His followers to preach the gospel. I know you're all familiar with this, but in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature, to every person. Why? That they could hear the truth. We don't know who the elect are. Our job is to preach the gospel to every creature, everyone, that they might learn of the way. That narrow way. It's why Paul was driven to take the gospel to the world. You know, you take a man who hated God at one time, who persecuted the church, and God changed him, God saved him, and he became one of the greatest preachers of that same church that he at one time hated and persecuted. That shows you salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul didn't say, oh, Jewish people, you're okay. Keep doing what you're doing. You're fine. No. He told them, it's only through Jesus. Only through Jesus.
Amen.
It's the same thing that the church has to do. We have to tell people. We have to give them the directions. That's what we're called to do. Somebody told me about Him. That's how I got saved. Somebody told you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we do that, we live in a hostile and indifferent world. Indifferent world. Like I said, preach that message to a large group of people and see what happens. But yet we still have to do it. We have to trust in Christ. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, Jesus said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So we know we're going to be hated. We know people are going to reject our message. A lot of people are not going to hear it, but praise God, some will. And we never know when we sow the seed what might grow later on. We may never see the growth of that seed. But yet we're still called to deliver this message to people. So, in closing, my question to you would be, if you get where you are going, where will you be? Because you're going somewhere. You may not have a specific destination, and you may not be following directions, but like I said, we're all going to die. So if you get where you're going right now, where will you be? Where will you wind up? Are you following that narrow way? Are you following Christ? Are you following those directions? Jesus made it plain. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to get to the Father's house is through Him.
Amen.
Let's close in a word of prayer.